You know, once a person chooses something that's wrong, then they try to excuse what's wrong. Just like the Laodicean church, they didn't know their condition. Gideon didn't know his condition. His dad had idols along with Israel. They went into captivity. They thought that whatever they did was all right. And when it's not, and it's steadily breaking covenant. And so when you get out, when you start, covenant breakers can't, don't, there's no covenant anymore. Wickedness, when people go wicked, when they start loving the world somewhere, the enmity begins to form. And you'll be out in left field and won't even realize it. Just like many people today. They assess themselves to be fine. But in life, they're choosing the wrong things and it's eroding their convictions. The convictions it takes to study how not to go off, get off track was lost. They didn't have those convictions anymore. When they should have been studying the law of Moses, like God told Joshua to study the word day and night. They all should have been studying that word day and night. That should have been a high part of their business. And not let the knowledge that Moses gave them be lost. And the knowledge that they learned from all the miracles, they should have been studying and rehearsing it. That should have been the first thing in their heart. Love towards God. But remember, they obeyed him to get good results, but they didn't. They never learned to trust God, and they saw God as a Pharaoh because he was the authority figure that everybody looked to for years. 260 something years, they looked to a Pharaoh to tell them what to do, and that's what they were used to. I've seen people, they go to the military, they do fine. It's a structure that they're used to. But when they're out, they still have that conditional structure, but they don't know how to govern alone without others. And when I worked at the city, our best employers were people who had their own business or came out of the military. In the military, you learn a discipline. And everybody that was in the military had a they came to work early. They were less likely to abuse time. They worked when they got there. It wasn't 100% perfect that way, but people who had a military background had an extra boost of discipline. All right. When people start loving the things of this world, the idolatry that God warned them about, he told them to drive those demon possessed folks out of that land, or they would be like smoke in your eyes, thorns in your sides, and smoke in your eyes. And it happened. And they got so involved with them. If you keep reading Judges, at the end of Judges, people were slow to ask God to help them. By the time Isaiah came on the scene, they about to go into Assyrian captivity. Nobody asked God. It's not even recorded in Isaiah that they asked God to help them out of it. By the time Jeremiah came, Judah was the same way. They didn't want to go into captivity. He told them what to do. At one point, he said, if you will do these things and humble yourselves, and give your life to the king, to King Nebuchadnezzar, he'll even let you stay in your land. And they still tried to run and fight and put the prophet in jail. Now the sons of Zedekiah would have killed the prophet Jeremiah. But Zedekiah saved his life and told him what to tell his sons. Don't tell them that what we talked about. Don't tell him that part. And Jeremiah obeyed. And when his sons came to ask what their dad said, he told them part of it. He didn't tell them all of it, just like his dad told them to. And Zedekiah, through that, saved Jeremiah's life. But he was disobedient. He should have gave up. He said, if you don't, they're going to take your daughters and your wives, take you to Babylon, and you're going to die there. But he didn't want to be mocked, and he tried to fight. And they caught Zedekiah. Killed his son right before him. That was the last thing he saw. Then they put out his eyes and took his behind to Babylon, where he died. So, because he didn't kill the prophet, he lived. And those rogue sons of his, they got killed. See, the way your faith can keep you in covenant. Your doubt will cause, if you choose to follow the path of doubt in any form, it always brings people out of covenant. And that's the danger. You have no agreement with God anymore. I agree with God that my sins were washed away. The blood of Jesus, and it took the blood of Jesus to wash my raggedy sins away, and I don't want them back. It's a glorious thing to be saved and forgiven. And I don't even want to do nothing to remind the Lord of my past. I don't want to do nothing to remind him of a demon or Satan or evil men. I want everything I do to be pure hearted, just like I preach. Covenant. See, when I learn that my will, I can control it. You know, I used to work on heavy equipment. It is awesome to be in a track loader or a rubber tire loader. All that power. You got to be careful. You got to be alert when you're driving that thing. That thing can turn over a car. It can it's like a bulldog. It can do some damage quick. it can push trees down. I remember when Fob James came to Best when he was the governor, and he got on a track loader and tore down the drug house. Well, actually, they were empty, vacant houses that people were doing drugs in, and they wanted the list to be destroyed, and he tore them down. And we used to work on it. Nevertheless, you know, that was a cool job. A lot of good things happened there. But, you know, how about that? The governor coming and getting one of the investment in the track to tear down the house. And he was a good governor. Now, the thing is, when your will can be controlled by you. I love that proverb. It says, better is he that rules his spirit than he that takes a city. When you operate by the love of God, you don't have to be moved by what you see. You don't have to be moved by what you feel anymore. You don't have to be moved by circumstance. You can take that junk and file it and close it. And you know what's going on. You see what's happening. Then you can pray. You're in covenant with God. Lord, give me your wisdom to properly deal with this problem. And you're not moved by it. See, you're in faith. If you're in faith, you're in covenant. You're in agreement with God. And then you see that wherever the enemy is trying to get you in doubt, you see it from God's perspective. But when you try to do something that's wrong, you lose God's perspective. The enemy's, his temptation, once you go rogue, the enemy don't blame himself. He never blames himself. And people who are tempted by him, they don't blame themselves. They always blame somebody else for their problem that they caused. All the time. Even when they know they're wrong. Well, if you would have been a better wife, I wouldn't have cheated. Or if you would have did what you were supposed to do, then I would have did what I was supposed to do. You know, I've seen it so many ways. People blame their misery on you. But when you follow God's word, your eyes are in your head. See, the love of God causes you to believe all things. Now, I'm going to say it this way from God's perspective. Even the darkness, you'll see it as a threat and a problem, not a blessing. When people try drugs, they think they're going to do something that's going to help themselves to feel good. But the devil don't present it in a way that it's going to destroy your life. But when you look around, you see people with missing teeth and black eyes, and they lose weight. They do crazy stuff. They're driven. But the will forms after your choices. And sin controls you from the outside. It controls you to do what will destroy you. See, the enemy come to steal, kill, destroy. So does sin. Now, every time people go rogue, they stop trying to learn God's word. They begin losing taste as their interest, as their level of interest grows in the darkness, their interest in the things of the light subsides. And they think the enemy, the illusion of the enemy is on this wide. Well, you know God loves you. You're the head and not the tail. Not anymore. if you love darkness, you're the enemy. And you're not just going to be the tail. You're going to be buried. And destroyed. And forgotten. So, Gideon asked the angel, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this happening to us? From his perspective, that's an honest question, but the law of Moses, why didn't Gideon know to study the law of Moses? Why wasn't he presented with the law of Moses? It would have explained his question. Now he learned the God of Moses. At the end of his battles, he did something. See, he doesn't seem to know the things of Moses. At the end of the battle, he had won. And he was wise. In verse 23 of chapter 8, Gideon said unto them, I will not rule over you, neither shall my son rule over you. The Lord shall rule over you. He was a mighty warrior. Now, if he had studied the law of Moses, he wouldn't have did this next problem that caused him a problem. Verse 24 says, and Gideon said unto them, I would desire a request of you, that ye would give me every man the earring of his prey. For they had golden earrings because they were Ishmaelites. And they answered, we will willingly give them. And they spread a garment and did cast therein every man the earring of his prey. And the weight of the golden earrings that he requested was 1,700 shekels of gold. I don't know how much that weighs because I don't know how much a shekel is. Besides ornaments, collars, purple raiment that was on the kings of the Midian, and beside the chains that were chains on a camel. Come on, that's like rims on a car. Chains that were about the camel's necks. And Gideon made an ephod thereof and put it in his city, even in Ophrah. And all Israel went thither a whoring after it, which then became a snare unto Gideon and to his house. This is a problem. When you took the spoils of war, you were supposed to burn it if it was gold and wash it with water if it was cloth. It didn't say he did that. See, when you take things that came from evil people and you don't follow the protocol of Moses, that's it, it became a snare to him. And then he had a son that rose up and acted just like the Midianites. See, you have to pay attention. When God gives statutes and oracles and protocols, you got to obey them. If they had been studying that, they wouldn't keep getting in so much trouble. And you notice that every time they go and have one of these wars, the next generation is worse than that one. When they backslide, they backslide harder. The will is something you must protect. It's your will. Nobody, Satan has to work with your will. God has to work with your will. And I have to work with my will. This is the way I do it. I ask the Lord to help. Don't trust me to manage my own will. When I'm in covenant with God, I speak words of faith so that my will be His will. So that my will always be covenant. I want my will to always be covenant first and foremost. I want my will to be covenant in the love of God, the wisdom of God, and the holiness of God. And that's just the way it works. But every time people diminish, they lose taste for the things that should be chosen first. Jesus put it this way: seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added. And here's the reason why. And not the only reason why. You'll always be in covenant. You'll become covenant minded and become covenant appropriate. See, when you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, your life becomes blessable. See, God told me this. Sometimes people have spiritual wealth on their life, but they lack maturity. If God gave them the amount of their spiritual wealth in cash, they'll destroy themselves. So He has to give it to him in measure because He loves. This is true. Now I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in and throughout your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you. Jesus Christ is our Lord.